Okay, everybody. Hello, this is Ms. Z coming at you live from the library for our final podcast of the year. And today I am so excited to have some really special guests. We have our one and only Ryan here, sixth grader, who is here to interview Ked Korematsu, the son of Fred Korematsu, who you'll learn a little bit more about, and film director. Am I getting that right, Eric? Eric Fournier here, who has done multiple documentaries, but one specifically about Fred Korematsu. So, without further ado, I'd like Ryan to take over. Welcome, everybody.
So one question I have for you, Ken, is how was your experience as a Japanese American growing up in San Francisco?
Well, I didn't grow up in San Francisco. I grew up in San Leandro, which is below Oakland. What do you mean in terms of my experience?
I think he's probably referencing, did you experience racism when you were growing up as well? And what was your, did you grow
Yes,
up in the all-American dream or?
no, I experienced racism quite a bit from certain people. A lot of my friends were, some of my best friends were white. But going to a school that was mainly white, I experienced quite a bit of racism, and it was hard. I surely didn't like it, but I just went about my business anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so your father was a very influential civil rights leader. So how do you what does it mean to you as, part of this new generation?
Well, I'm very honored that my father was turned out to be the civil rights hero that he was. But growing up, he was just, a good father. I mean, he did a lot of stuff for me, and so mainly my relationship with him was as a father and son. I didn't really. He was not known as a civil rights hero growing up because he didn't talk much about his case at all. And we didn't even know about it. We had to find out in the history book. We read about it. I didn't find out till I was 17, until I knew about the Korematsu versus the United States. Same as my sister, and we never. She's 4 years different from me. She's older, and we never really compared notes on that one either. So we both found out for the first time when we were both 17 in high school. It happened in the 80s when the case got overturned, and I was very proud of him for being able to do that. And he had some hard times, growing up too, and dealing with that's all the racism and he'd tell me about it once in a while. About how he couldn't get his hair cut anywhere but Chinatown, and how he'd go into restaurants and certain guys would try to pick fights with him and stuff like that while he was on a date. So, I mean, so he told me stuff about that. But in terms of him becoming the hero that he became, that developed quite late in his life. And but I was we're very pleased that it worked out the way it did for him.
All right, so I know that you, Eric, and you made a documentary about Fred Korematsu's life. So, what inspired you to make it, and how is it like?
What Ken, you
inspired me?
take this one.
What's that?
I said you take this one.
Okay. Well, actually, I was told to do it by my mother. She said that there are a lot of other movies being made of the other
Litigants.
Min Tsui and Gordon
Gordon
here by
Hirabayashi.
family. They were making movies about their fathers. And so she goes, well, why can't you do it? And so she almost insisted that I do it with Shirley Nakao, who is a personal friend of theirs and a photographer. She's an attorney for Bart, but she was game to be the producer on this. And we found a writer, and And we went to a Film Arts Foundation seminar about filmmaking. And so it all started then. But it was mainly my mother's prodding to do this.
So you're all like very influential to a lot of younger generations in this country. So like, what do you want them to know? Like, what do you want them to take away from what happened?
About Fred?
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, he's quoted as saying, you know, whenever you see something that's unjust, like racism, it's you should protest, but not with violence. Otherwise, and he always says, don't be afraid to speak up. So I like that he has that kind of message in terms of facing racial injustice, is to be vigilant about dealing with it and to protest about it, but not with violence.
Yeah. When Ken and I made this movie, before you were born, Ryan, my interest in it, because I'm not Asian American, you know, it wasn't really my story to tell in that sense, other than the fact that it's America's story and that it's something that we all need to know about. We did it as a cautionary tale to show what can happen when government oversteps its boundaries, when lies are allowed to persist, when racial profiling and racial characterizations were allowed to run amok. And it was done as a cautionary tale so that this would never happen again, that if we expose this and we saw this terrible time in our history, that we would be able to stem the tide. Unfortunately, you know, what was made as a cautionary tale has now become like something we have to talk about right now, right? Because the events of the last 4 or 5 years have, you know, brought this into crystal focus again. And so Fred's story remains something that we have to learn about so that, you know, we're not doomed to repeat history again, even though it seems that, you know, a previous administration had set us on a course for, you know, probably doing just that. The ideas that you can be locked up, incarcerated without a trial, without any jurisprudence, without any evidence of any kind, solely based on your racial or ethnic characteristics, is something that's very, very anti-American and something that should not be allowed. And when you start hearing the rhetoric of certain people in this country about immigrants coming in and stealing our jobs and being racist and all of that stuff, you realize that these issues have not gone away. They've been boiling under the surface for a period of time, and that they need to be addressed now as much as ever.
Yeah, so I was reading up about the Koimatsu versus United States court case. What was it, like, now that you look back on it, I know that you weren't really aware of it while you were younger. How does it feel looking back now that what happened was so changing to the country?
Is that for me or for Eric?
Yeah, it's for Ken.
Okay. Well, I think that looking back on it now, I think it was obviously the wrong court decision, but I could see that it was because of Pearl Harbor and the all the sentiment about the fear of being attacked created all this hysteria, and I understand that. I don't think it was right, but I think that's the time when the Supreme Court should have adhered to the ideals of the Constitution.
Right. To follow up with what Ken, you know, It's easy to follow, you know, our higher principles when everything's going well in America. The time the Constitution is tested is when things are bad, right? That's when our ideals need to really hold their ground. And that is something that didn't happen in Washington, D.C. It is something that did not happen on the West Coast. There was a character that helped ramp up all the Western anti-Asian sentiment. You know, he was a very powerful general called General DeWitt. And he was, you know, a white supremacist at his core. And, you know, he characterized Asian Americans, Japanese Americans in this case in particular, as, you know, unassimilable, right? That they were an enemy race by their nature, and that they could never be American. And, you know, when people are afraid, that it's easy for that to take root. So, again, it's a lesson we need to learn.
So where our community is proximity, you know, the proximity to Tanforan Mall, which used to be an internment camp, also many students in our community are unaware that this was happening a few miles from our school, from our community. So I know students like Ryan and others really do need to be made aware of what came before, you know, what was our neighborhood and our community like, and the question he asked about how court cases can change and how things can change. We have to be super vigilant about it today, right, and making sure that we, as we said earlier, stick to being upstanders, you know.
Well, yes, you know, Ken's father went from being an enemy, you know, alien and accused of being a spy to winning the, you know, presidential Freedom Medal, you know, so he went from, you know, a criminal to a hero, you know, a national hero. And that's something that time can do. You know, growing up so near a place where people were incarcerated, Fred was famously put into a horse stall, and his comments that horse stalls are for horses, not for people, you know, it reminds of what's happening today in Tulsa, right? Where people grew up in Greenwood, where there was a massacre of African Americans, and they had no idea this happened and that their entire neighborhood had been wiped out. So yeah, you should take it's a racetrack, or it used to be a racetrack. Then it was a detention center, and then it went back to being a racetrack. So they tried to erase that history as well. They also they destroyed all the internment camps so that there was no record of them. It was only later in the 80s when Ken's father, Fred, was part of a movement to, you know, say that this was wrong, that these places started turning into monuments where you could come and visit them and see them. And, you know.
Right. So this is a bit off topic, but I heard that earlier you were making more of like a live action documentary about it. Do you have any idea when this will be released?
Oh, it's not a live action documentary. It's we're taking Ken's father's story and turning it into a narrative, which is where you take actors to play the roles and you tell the story, like all the movies that you see that say based on a true story and about something. So we are just starting that process now. We are writing the scripts and looking at actors, and you know, Ken and I will then kind of view what's going on, and you know, for our approval. It's being produced in Hollywood, so you know, we want to make sure that they get the story right, and that
when do you think it's going to get finished?
You know, who knows. I would like to say within 2 years it'll be broadcast. That's aggressive, but at least it takes at least that long, right?
Well, maybe we can get Ryan to play one of the characters. Right on. Well, Ryan, do you have any other questions for them?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. And do you gentlemen have any questions for Ryan?
No, but so you made a video, which I saw, and it's quite inspiring and beautifully shot, I must say. So do you have ambitions to be a filmmaker, Or is that just you just are all kids your age doing the videos now for YouTube?
I think right now it's too early to tell. I'm yeah. still kind of
yeah, right. You're in seventh grade. I get you. Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Wow. All right. Well, this has been so great. I'm so happy to share all of this with the rest of our school, the parents of our school, our community, and we really, really look forward to following the next round of filmmaking that you're doing. So thank you all for being here today. We really appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Right. Thanks for the patience of me getting it online here.
welcome to the world of education and our Zoom lifestyle. Hopefully we're back in person starting in the next school year again. So.